Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from the Winter Wonderland. That is Lexington, Kentucky.
You don't even want to know what it is in Phoenix, my friend. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Tuesday, February 8th, 2011, episode 72, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
Gotta go feed the horses. Gotta give them hay. Gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses. Gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed.
Gotta go feed. Hey, Jamie, yesterday
yes.
Something really cool happened here in Lexington, and it was all over Facebook. If you followed anybody that lived in Lexington, they all posted pictures of it. I think we were the only ones that didn't. Jennifer and I have seen every kind of weather. We've talked about that. You know, I think we talked about it yesterday. We've been in all kinds of nasty weather. But yesterday was the most pretty day ever here in Lexington. We had the biggest snowflakes. And, you know, usually during a snowstorm, when you get the big snowflakes, it's at the very beginning of a snowstorm at the very end. Well, this lasted for hours and hours, and it was like living in a snow globe. They were huge. They were quarter size to half dollar size snowflakes, and it lasted for hours. It was the most incredible thing. It really was beautiful.
That's cool. That's fantastic. For you to see new weather living in Pennsylvania,
yes.
And all over the place that you guys have lived, that's pretty impressive. Now, I would like to let you know, I just emailed you some pictures of my ride from yesterday. And I want you to post those on Facebook because you're better at that than me. This is the horrible, god-awful weather I had to deal with yesterday. So when you look at those emails and we post them on Facebook, just feel sorry for me, really, because I actually got a little bit of a sunburn.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many people having that problem this time of year.
I had to put on 50. You know what? Yesterday was the first day I've worn a T-shirt in quite a while. It's down from my long sleeve T-shirt. So just keep in mind that that was the horrible ride that I had to deal with yesterday. Simply because, you know, we decided last minute to take my friend Jamie and I to take our horses to the park. That's a couple miles down the road. So that's where we were. We were suffering in the sunshine, riding through the desert. Feel sorry for me. No, don't, because it's awesome here right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And, you know, Massachusetts, they're having a heck of a time with roofs collapsing up there.
Really?
You know, just having a heck of a time with roofs on indoor arenas and things like that collapsing because it had so much snow, and then they had an ice storm on top of that, and all the weight has just caused a bunch of, I think there was like 70 roofs that have collapsed in Massachusetts, and a lot of those were riding arenas and things. So those people that are listening up in Massachusetts right now, you can send your hate mail to jamie@horseradionetwork.com.
Hey, listen, summer is payback, my friend. 120 degrees is the worst. So it's okay. This is my summer right now. Your winter is my summer and vice versa. So we all suffer somehow or another. But I think we have a pretty awesome show coming up today, Glenn. Jennifer, what do you have for us?
On today's show,
We have Lisa Kemp, author of the No Biz Like Horse Biz blog. She got an extra special nomination award prize that we're going to talk about. And then we've got Jackie Baker of the Regarding Horses blog, one of our most fun and entertaining blogs that we get to highlight here. And she's going to be talking about some really cool postings she's seen lately. And then we've got a preview of the fun fest that is the Scottsdale Arabian Show. And now on with the show.
There we go.
Scottsdale Arabian Show is huge, huge here. I mean, people that don't even know anything about horses flock to Scottsdale, which is about an hour away from me, flock to Scottsdale this time of year to go to that Arab show. It's huge.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Arab shows, they do know how to do costumes and pageantry. They're perhaps one of the most pretty shows when it comes to, you know, actually wearing really cool outfits.
I laugh because, you know, so many people that I know are like, are you going to the Scottsdale Arab show? I am, and they're not horse people. And I think that when people that are not horse people go to a show like that, I wonder if they think the entire horse world is like that.
They think you're dressing up in your fancy sequined outfit every day to go riding in the desert.
Yeah, I dress up like a genie in a bottle to go out back and ride my horse every day. So I'm just always curious if that's how they think the rest of the horse world is. You never know. Well, I'll have to find that out this weekend. Maybe I'll head over there and get people's perspective on it.
Well, take some videos if you head over. Hey, it is time for the Daily News. Today's Daily Winnie goes out to Mandy Widrick of Horse Family Magazine for having me on her horse Twitter chat last night. Got to chat with some people that didn't know about the Horse Radio Network, and I think we'll have some new listeners this morning. So if we do, from the chat last night, welcome to Horses in the Morning. Welcome to the Horse Radio Network. And we hope you enjoy it. We just like to have a little fun here in the morning and chat about horses. Speaking of fun, yesterday you said, what was it? It was yesterday after we did the contest with the Are You Smarter Than a Pony Clover?
Well,
let me explain. Yeah,
you
okay, go
lost.
Ahead.
And I would like to apologize for my my attitude. I was a little bit, you know, I'm like Monica on Friends, where I cannot lose anything, especially horse-related stuff. And I got a little overboard. I got a little out of control, and I apologize to the Pony Clubber. However, you went the other way, Mr. Sore Loser, and you know, considered yourself, you know, you still were a winner, even though you lost. And I'm glad that you found this song to kind of display Jennifer and my feelings to you.
Well, this song, Bob and Sherry Morning Show, by the way, is one of my favorite shows ever. I love the Bob and Sherry Morning Show. They can be found at bobandsherry.com and all over traditional radio, all over the country. And really, you know, when Jamie and I and Jennifer were sitting down to design Horses in the Morning, it was really designed after the structure of the Bob and Sherry Morning Show. If we were going to live up to one show, we really wanted it to be more like that show than any other. And so we have to credit Bob and Sherry for really Horses in the Morning coming into fruition, and for really me getting the idea for the morning show was from the Bob and Sherry Show. Well, they have a musician that they work with called Cool King Chris, and he's great. He's a terrific musician. Well, they were doing, you know, the rampant today is the thing in elementary schools. Do you realize that they stopped using red ink in some schools in elementary and junior high schools because it was too negative when they were grading papers? So they went to purple. Well, you know what? You know, if you think these are educators, you stop using red ink and go to purple, it has the same connotation. It's still negative. In another year or two, purple is going to be the negative color. So
well,
what are you going to do then? You going to go to green or white? You know, I don't get it.
You're exactly right. The elementary school that I went to, our most fun day of the year was field day. And field day was like a track and field day kind of for, you know, elementary school students, where there was the three-legged race, there was the sack race, there was the tug of war, those kinds of things. Well, my brother became a substitute teacher, and he went back to teach at the school we went to and went to that field day, and it was like peace and love day. I mean, there was no competing. You were not allowed to compete on anything. The sack races became like the happy relay fun time. Three-legged race was like the three-legged adventure. And there was no competition. Nobody won, nobody lost. And that is exactly how this song is. I love it.
Yeah, well, it's called Not That Special. And I think anybody that teaches a lesson that has a riding program will appreciate this song and will probably want it to play in the indoor at times. So here is, I'm looking for it on the list here. This is Cool King Chris from the Bob and Cherry Morning Show.
Hey, kids. How many of you feel special? Well, I have a song for you. You're not that special. You're not that special. You're not that special. And if you think you are, well, you're not. There are hundreds of millions of children all over this big world. And that's just too many for you to try and count. Too many boys and girls. And if every one of them thinks that they are special too, well, that means that none of them are really special, including you, you, and you. You're not that special. You're not that special. Sing along. You're not that special. And if you think you are, well, you're not.
Well, you're not.
They say if you reach for the stars, your dreams will come true. But the stars are billions of light years away. You'll never reach them. No, not you. And as far as dreams are concerned, I once dreamed that zombies ate my brain. And if you want that to come true, you're not special. Or gifted and talented, you're insane. You're not that special. You're not that special. You're not that special. And if you think you are, well, you're not. Santa Claus keeps a list all year long of who's been naughty or nice. So when he brings you presents, that means you're special, 'cause you're nice, right? But I've seen really bad kids get presents, and even obnoxious teens. So if everyone gets presents anyway, I guess you know what that means. You're not that special. You're not that special. You're not that special. And if you think you are, well, you're not. When I was a boy, my parents told me if I believed in myself, I could be anything I wanted to be. Well, they freaking lied. I believe I could be a rock star, be adored by millions of screaming fans. But no, I'm stuck singing to a bunch of little kids about boo boo gaga fat. You wouldn't understand. And you know what that means?
Yeah.
I'm not that special.
Not that special.
I'm not that special. I'm just like you. We're not that special. And if we think we are, well, we're not.
Oh, that yay.
Wasn't that good?
That's fantastic. The part about Santa Claus is like, everybody gets it. Well, then that was fantastic. I love it. And so the website, if people want to find that song, they can go to bobandcherry.com, S-H-E-R-I.
Yes, it's bobandcherry.com. Okay. Yep, that's what it is, bobandcherry.com. That was terrific.
Right.
Thanks to Bob and Cherry for putting that out. Of course, you can hear them laughing in there, and I think you heard us laughing in there, too. Every time I hear that song, I just crack up.
It's just, oh, It's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we are waiting on our first guest, unless she is on the phone right now. I do believe she is.
She's not quite ready yet. I wanted to I had a story. Yeah, go ahead. You want to say?
No, you go. Go, go, go.
Well, I just wanted to say the parasailing Russian donkey died.
What?
The story from Horse and Hound. Remember the parasailing Russian donkey? They had the video of the Russian donkey hooked to the parasails, and it caused a big, you know, hoopla all over the world. People were just outraged, and it actually caused a rescue place to go in and take him away from the people, and he got a new home outside of Moscow. And apparently a month after he got his new home outside of Moscow, he started eating and drinking, and he finally died. Well, you know, they said in the article, which I thought was a bit of a stretch, that he died of a heart attack because of the parasailing. Well, that was like months ago, and I'm not sure. And they also weren't sure whether he was 17 to 40 years old. He could have just died of old age. So I'm not really sure he died of the parasailing. It was a cruel thing to do. But yeah, he didn't make it, apparently, after he found his new home. He had a couple of good months at the end there.
Well, Glenn,
do you remember seeing that video?
I do. I didn't watch the video. I couldn't watch that. But it is a girl donkey. It was a girl donkey. You're calling it he, and it's a she. Anapka. It's
Sorry.
Clearly a female Russian name. Like, I knew that at all. But yeah, I just couldn't watch the video of her flying 150 feet through the sky, attached to a parachute pulled by a speedboat. But that did spark a lot of outrage, and she was at least lived for a couple happy months in her home. But yeah, a heart attack due to the parasailing, I'm sure that didn't help her condition. But as old as she was, it said that she became very weak, and vets had to force feed her for more than a week before she died. Bless her little heart. She is going to donkey heaven. The happiest donkey place that a donkey can go. We feel so bad for her. But, yeah, it doesn't sound like it was a big-time heart attack. It sounded like she kind of just was old.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's going to be at a place where there's lots of green grass and not so many large kites. So,
poor little thing.
Probably going to be in a better place. Well, we have a guest coming up here who I've known for a long time, and we're happy to have on the show, I think for the first time, although she has helped us find a couple of our guests here on Horses in the Morning. Her name is Lisa Kemp. She is from Kemp Equine. It's a marketing firm here in the equestrian industry. She's out of, I think, Chicago, if I remember correctly, and she just won an award. So welcome, Lisa. Well, not really an award, but was acknowledged for something. Welcome, Lisa, to Horses in the Morning.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jamie. Nice to be here.
Well, Lisa, you know, what you actually were acknowledged for is not something that any of us that are your friends would have really thought of you as. And that was one of Twitter's top 75 badass women. Wait, did you ever really think of yourself as a badass?
I completely don't think of myself as a badass, and when I was shocked when I found out. But I congratulated somebody else who tweeted that she was on the list, and then one of my followers said, "Oh, Kemp Equine's on the list too." I was amazed.
Well, you know, you were in there with some pretty big names too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, and you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I think I'm the only horse industry person, and you know, that's the thing about what I do is I'm always trying to raise the profile of equestrian businesses and horse businesses. And you know, we have to look at not only you know, people in the horse industry, but how do we welcome in new people? How do we welcome in people who want to do equestrian activities, who want to be around horses? And I think social media and Twitter are a great way to do it.
Well, and you do it very well. You're a heck of a Twitterer. And of
well,
course, that's
you.
What you won
it.
For. I want to say
yeah.
though, what this acknowledgement was is they basically picked the 75 women because of their instantly recognizable. They exude confidence and humility, whether they have 100 followers or 1 million followers. And it says here, like a pair of good sunglasses or your favorite pair of jeans, they just feel good. So that's what this was based on. So now you're like our favorite pair of jeans, Lisa.
Oh, I feel honored. Yeah, and the two women that put this together, Amy Howell, who's a really top marketing person in Memphis, Tennessee, and Diana Adams, who I don't know yet, but she's in Adams Consulting in Atlanta, Georgia. And Diana writes for a website called bitrebels.com, and they put this list together, and these are women that they say inspire them and that they've, you know, gotten to know. And, yeah, they're not the most popular, but they're people who are there for their followers, who are active and engaged. And I think that's the best thing about Twitter is it's, you know, it's really become a community, and it's really connected people and across, you know, geographic boundaries or industry boundaries. And that's what I really like about it.
Well, I mean, clearly you're in with some big names because Alyssa Milano made the list. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you know, I still got to wash the dishes and feed the dog.
Oh, I think it's great. And I love what they said about you, too, because they went on about, you know, your equestrian, how your spirit is like that of a wild horse or something like that. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it says.
She loves horses, and her spirit is as spunky as theirs.
That's a fine compliment, too.
Absolutely. You didn't submit for this at all? You didn't solicit for this? They just picked you?
They just picked me. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was completely a surprise. I had no idea. I mean, they just, you know, I mean, like I said, I do follow Amy Howell and from Amy Howell Marketing, and they just picked me. It was a complete surprise. And, you know, it was a similar thing. I know you had Liam Killen on with regards to the Equestrian Social Media Awards a few days ago. And it was the same thing there. I'm actually a finalist under Best Use of Twitter for the first ever awards. And people nominated me, and I had no – it was a surprise when I was on the list.
Well, you know, and maybe they nominated you because you've had 14,817 tweets since you started Twitter.
So you've been a little bit busy. It's a wonder I get anything else done, right?
Exactly. But I follow you because you do have tweets that I like. I like the information that I get from them. And so that's why I follow you. But I got to say that I did look at this, and we'll post it on our show notes page. I looked at the list of 75, and I ended up following about 15 of those other women because there were some fascinating women on there, adventurers and, you know, different kinds of women doing different things. Mm-hmm. So it was a neat list to do.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I really love about Twitter is I've gotten to meet and work with and interact with all kinds of people that I would never have otherwise met or gotten to know. And I just think that's the, you know, one of the really cool uses and applications of Twitter. I mean, it's a great place to just go discover the world there and meet some people along the way.
I'm going to have to take my Twitter lessons from you because I am a newbie. And, like, Glenn did a Twitter chat last night, and I just sat there, like, I felt like a voyeur. Like, I was, like, listening in on his conversation with other people because it's just, like, playing itself out right there in front of me. But I guess that's just what it is. I just opened an account. So I'm trying to get into the Twitter thing and learn it. But all the hashtags and the symbols and all that stuff, I'm a little bit behind, but 14,000 tweets, I think you could teach me.
Well, you know, Jane, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I think a lot of people are intimidated by it, but, you know, it's free to do it, and you can get in there and learn it. And, you know, so often, like, you know, look at people who, you know, teach riding lessons. Like, we're asking people who have never been on a horse maybe to get on a horse and learn how to, you know, move the horse around and, you know, keep their hands in a certain position and work their seat and everything. And, you know, that's a lot to learn. So it's no different than learning anything. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
I did. I asked my brother for help, and he said that it was easier to teach my dad to email than to teach me Twitter. I was like, I'm pretty sure that that's not a compliment.
Yeah.
Jamie talks. She talks better than she types. She's just like me. We're talkers. We're not typers.
We all have our talents.
Yeah. Lisa, do you still ride at all? Do you still get out and play with the ponies at all?
You know, I haven't been very much over the last couple of years because I've been so focused on growing my business. I did go down to WEG. What's that? I've been
tweeting all the time.
Oh, I gotta learn how to tweet from the saddle, right? I went down to WEG and I went up to the Iron Horse combined driving event that was last year, and so I do get out to the horse events from time to time. But I've just been so focused on client projects and things like that you know, it just makes horse time a little bit difficult. But I'm hoping to change that this year. Things are kind of starting to come together in a good way, and I'm looking forward to more horse time.
Well, I just got a email from Sarah Lee, who we talked about yesterday, speaking of new media. She posted on our Facebook page that she's in a video contest right now with five other girls, five other people. There were males and females in that one. And she's trying to go to the Mongol Derby, which is that 1,000-mile race in Mongolia.
Yeah.
A 1,000-kilometer race, actually. And she just confirmed that she will be able to join us tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. She'll be calling us from Ireland. So I just got an email. So, you know, there are so many cool things that are happening because of new media, and obviously this award is one of them. And we also want to thank you for helping us find guests and do all that you've done to help the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning. We appreciate that, too.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm happy to do it, and I just think you guys are doing such a great job, and I'm thrilled to be on here and really appreciate just, you know, sharing, announcing to the world that I'm a badass, even though I'm not.
Well,
thank you.
Morning when I put on my jeans, Lisa, I will think of you.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
So that's Lisa Kemp of Kemp Equine. She can be found at kempequine.com. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Now, she doesn't sound that bad, you know?
She sounds kind of sweet, actually. that's great. Great. Well, just want to let you know, our sponsor for today, Glenn, is Pfizer. It's Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family vaccines, or learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's PfizerAH.com.
Well, we thank Pfizer again for being part of Horses in the Morning. You had we are starting to follow a course now. We sort of have picked our favorite, haven't we, for the Kentucky Derby?
We have, and you know, this horse is fantastic. I love Todd Pletcher, and he is the trainer of our 2-year-old now. Well, I guess he's now 3 years old as of January 1st, but he was a 2-year-old champion. And what I love about this horse, Glenn, is he is another Zenyatta as far as social media goes. We were just talking about social media. Well, this horse has his own Facebook page, and he tweets and everything. His name is Uncle Mo, and he was the 2-year-old champion. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He also won some races at Palmettos and Churchill Downs. He is undefeated right now, and he's in Micro Poles stable, and this horse has had three of his lifetime races. He's won them by over 24 lengths combined. So this horse not only wins, but he kicks some butt, and he is considered the early favorite for the Kentucky Derby this year. And just want to let you know that he is back in work, because a lot of them take December and some of January off. Well, he's now back in training, and he had his first breeze, and he worked a half mile in under 50 seconds. So that is very fast.
Way to go, Uncle Mo.
Yeah, so they're pretty excited about him, and they're starting to publicize this. So if you want to join us in our quest to see Uncle Mo win the Kentucky Derby this year, get on board, and you can become a fan of his on Facebook. Now, I told you this the other day, Glenn. Uncle Mo does not have the proper English that Zenyatta does. I mean, Zenyatta is very well spoken and well typed, and Uncle Mo may use some slang terms, not bad words, but like what we were talking about, the abbreviations. He's more of a text speak kind of horse. So just keep that in mind. Don't point out the misspellings, because he's a young boy. He's only 3 years old, you know. So he is not typing like Zenyatta is, but go follow him. It's fun. It's fun to read.
All right, cool.
And we have our next guest on the phone. And, you know, one of those go-to websites that I have, Glenn, is regardinghorses.com. And this is Jackie's website. And it seems like she just nails everything right up front. And the most recent post that she did on her website, I think, it's so interesting, because it's kind of one of those things where you see everybody else do it, but you never would do that. However, you probably do it all the time. So Jackie's going to tell us what that is. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
We are doing fantastic, trying to get
good.
Everybody caught up on Uncle Mo,
yeah,
and everything, and what's going on in the racing world. But, as far as the training world goes, I think your most recent article that you posted on your blog, I don't know what you were going to call about and what you had planned to talk about, but we have to talk about this too.
Well, yeah, definitely. It's one of those topics that's near and dear to my heart, because I've ridden horses my whole life, and it's not something that I understood when I was growing up riding. I just figured that if my horse wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, it was being bad. And it's only been in more recent
sort of like
years
husband.
With my current... yeah. Anyway, moving on.
no comment.
Yeah. You know, didn't always realize, you know, how much training plays into it. And, like, I used an example in the article, a really extreme one that I've seen. You know, there's somebody who has this very young horse who has a little bit of a screw loose anyways, but has never been taught how to do anything. And he's constantly getting in trouble when he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And it's not that he's being bad, it's that he's just never been taught how to do a lot of this basic stuff. And it can get really frustrating watching that and seeing that happen to a horse when it's not the horse's fault. But I realize at the same time, it's something I totally do. When my horse doesn't pick up his canter leads, I'm like, come on, and give him a kick with that outside leg. And it's not that he's being bad and refusing to do what I'm asking. It's that he still doesn't really have that down 100%. And I have to remind myself to, you know, take a step back, think about what I'm doing, make sure I'm doing things correctly, and just give him some time to understand, because even though I may be doing the cues correctly, he doesn't necessarily know that's what those mean yet. And until he gets that down 100%, I can't expect him to do it right every single time. So it's something that happens in a lot of little ways like that, but happens in a lot of big ways too.
Well, and I like the fact that you pointed out that, you know, these people have this young horse, and they show up every couple weeks. They throw, as you put in here, they throw a saddle on and go. When he doesn't lunge or he doesn't do something right, he doesn't go to the wash rack, they punish him. And, you know, I'm such a fan of John Lyons and him saying you have to take that time to those building blocks. You can't just expect the horse to walk up to the trailer and jump in if you've never taught them how to lead to go into a trailer. So you have to back up, and you have to break it down into the tiniest steps. And that's where I think you hit the nail on the head with the grade levels for horses, because you kind of defined it a little bit for all of us.
Yeah, that actually was a concept, I believe, might have come from Ray Hunt originally. I was talking to an instructor at a therapeutic riding center last week, and he was talking about this with our students, explaining how horses are at different grade levels. You know, they don't all know how to do the same things. They have different skills and different abilities, and I just kind of took it from there, and it just makes sense that, you know, a horse who is in elementary isn't going to be doing the same kinds of things that a high school level would be doing. You know,
right.
Same thing. That's obvious for students. You're not going to ask a kid who is in first grade to be doing algebra, and you're not going to ask a horse who is just getting started in training to be able to collect. You know, there's always building blocks. They have to start somewhere and work up to it. And I think so many times we just have these basic expectations of our horses. We expect them to walk, trot, and canter under saddle. We expect them to go onto trailers and stand in the cross ties and go in the wash stall and lift their feet. And we just expect them to do all of this stuff, but we don't always take the time to teach them to do it.
And you know what you have to have for this kind of thing is just the main number one thing is patience. You have to
exactly.
be patient.
Yep.
I'm so guilty of this right now because I have a warm blood. My event horse will do anything. I mean, he half passes. He does whatever you want to do, he will do it. And then I've got this green thoroughbred who has now started to learn kind of how to give to the bit. And I go around a corner and I'm like, he's giving to the bit, but why won't he bend around my leg? And so I kick him and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh wait, you don't know that yet. You
yeah.
have to
yeah.
limit your you know, it's kind of like a kid who asks you a question. They're like, hey, what's your horse's name? How tall is he? How old is he? What kind of horse is that? How old are you? What do you do?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, stop asking questions. And it's kind of like you, I have to go, okay, I'm being that annoying little kid. Stop asking so many questions. Just ask one
yeah.
question at a time.
And that's so hard to do when you've been riding for such a long time. You know how to ask for things. And you know how to
yeah.
be asking them to collect and bend and do all of this at the same time. But I have a habit of doing that with my horse, too, who is relatively green. And I just try to, I fuss at him way too much. Do this, do that, do this. And it's like, wait, step back, take it one thing at a time. And when I remember
yeah.
to do that, he immediately relaxes and starts doing everything better.
Yeah. So what is your, when you wrap this up into a nice little bow, what is your blanket advice for people?
Blanket advice is if your horse is doing something and you think it's misbehaving, excluding dangerous behaviors like kicking or biting or something that could actually hurt you, if he's misbehaving and not doing something that you're asking him to do, just take a step back. Check out the cues you're giving. Are your cues right? Does he understand those cues? Is it something he's been taught to do? Is there something missing in his foundational training that's making this element difficult for him? Just take a step back and look at what you're doing and what your horse knows, and then take it from there.
I like it. I like it. I like that advice. So basically, look in the mirror. Figure
yep.
out if you're the one doing the thing wrong.
Yep. I think a lot of times we are, and we just don't realize it.
Hey, Jackie, I have something else I want to talk to you about, too. And that is, you
oh,
just had a post
okay.
on Valentine. Did you hear her? She knows that when I don't forewarn her of a question, she gets nervous. So you posted a Valentine post. Apparently, your horsey got a Valentine's in the mail.
No, he sent me one.
Oh,
I got a Valentine's from my horse that was sent to me by one of my very best blogger friends. From the blog On The Bit. It's onthebit.wordpress.com. I have never met her in person. I've never met her face-to-face, but we've been really, really, really good friends for the last 3 years. We email, we text, we've even talked to each other on the phone before. We IM a lot. And she sent me a box of homemade candy and said it was from my horse, but I really know it's from her. And I just thought that was the coolest.
Well, Jackie, that brought up a question. I think that's really sweet, by the way. You must have been very surprised. And you were so surprised that you took pictures and put it on your Facebook page of the candy and the note, which was really sweet.
Yeah.
But that brought up the question I've been meaning to ask Jamie and Jennifer this week is, you know, us horse husbands, we know what we have to do at Christmas time, because at Christmas time you might as well buy her a horse something. At birthday you might as well buy her a horse something. But Valentine's Day is kind of tough. It's one of those tough holidays for horse husbands because you're not sure, should I get her a horse, something for Valentine's Day? That kind of doesn't make any sense at all. Yet all they really care about is horse stuff. They don't really care about jewelry a whole lot. They don't really care about a lot of things a whole lot except horses. So it's one of those tough holidays for horse husbands. What do we horse husbands do that is okay to do on Valentine's Day?
I have a perfect suggestion for you, Glenn.
Okay,
yes.
Valentine's Day is great for flowers and chocolate. If you haven't been on there lately, go check out the Dapple Gray blog because she's done some posts with some really awesome horsey chocolates.
Okay.
I think that's your answer right there. Yeah. Yep.
And we love Dapple Gray.
A little bit of horse.
We love the Dapple Gray blog, and I'm going to definitely go check that out. But, you know, like for me, I'm not a big chocolate person, and I kind of think that, yes, at my birthday and, yes, at Christmas, Glenn, I want everything horsey. I'll take a new bridle. Heck, give me a saddle pad, whatever, as long as it's white and clean, then we're good. We're off to a good start. But I do think Valentine's Day is kind of a date. I like to just, like, spend time with me on Valentine's Day. Let's make it a special date night, whether we go out to dinner or we do something special. And, you know, a little gift is great, but, yeah, it doesn't have to be super horsey, I don't think. It's more about the two of you.
Okay, so that's good to know. You know, I always, you know, it is a tough one for horse husbands because you're never quite sure if you're doing the right thing anyway, and you're always on pins and needles because we're horse husbands, that's what we do. So, you know, I was trying to think in the past what I've done for Jennifer, and I think I've always tried to do things. She could probably tell you better than me because she has a better memory. I think I've always tried to do things that are non-horsey on Valentine's Day.
Yes, you definitely go the non-horsey route on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Is that okay? Have I done okay on that? Or
You know what you do? You stack the deck in your favor because what you have a tendency to do is you go into the deep, dark recesses of the bottom drawer of the sideboard and dig out all the cute, adorable snapshots of things horse. And you take them and you put them in this great big picture frame that has the little holes for lots of little pictures, and then you put really cute and adorable little captions on them. And then smack in the middle, there's a big old I love you with a heart on it. Now, how can I argue with that?
Aww.
You said you were romantic. It doesn't sound like
you're
struggling
too
much over there.
Dog one.
Too many
you're ruining my reputation here.
So, yeah, he does a pretty good job. Although, I wanted to make a suggestion. I'm taking this from our friend Darcy Laura Darcy's book of Valentine's. I'm sure she would approve of this one. The horse husband or significant horse other needs to go either on a trail ride with you, have it prearranged, or go somewhere for the romantic dinner that also includes carriage ride.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still
involved, I gotcha.
That still involves horses, though. I mean, that does still involve horses. I just want to point that out.
And that might work better if you're Jamie in Arizona, because I can tell you right now, my husband is not doing anything horsey when it's this cold outside.
Well,
I like that, yeah.
Is there any rule that says Valentine's Day, even though you live in Ohio, can't happen in Louisiana?
There you go, a big Valentine's Day
trick. I think the wallet is the rule there. The wallet has something to do with that. So let's ask Jackie, has he done anything Valentine's-ish for you? Or is it usually horsey or non-horsey? Or?
It's definitely non-horsey. We don't tend to do a lot for Valentine's Day. We kind of laugh about it. One year he walked out of the house and said, "Happy commercial holiday," and I kind of laughed and said it back and thought that was pretty funny. So that gives you a pretty good idea. But he's done a few good things. One year he got me a betta fish. Because he wanted to get me something fun that would last longer than flowers. Unfortunately, the fish died in a week and a half. That's a whole other fun story. I think one of the best ones, though, is he he got me the book Gone with the Wind once for Valentine's Day, which is my all-time favorite book, and I didn't have a good copy of it. So I think that was probably one of the good ones.
I like it. I like that. Now, I must say that you horse husbands have something in your distinct advantage right now. First, with the mention of the dapplegray.com. Just go to dapplegray.com because I'm looking on here at the chocolates, and not being a chocolate person, I want to eat the peanut butter pony. Oh, my gosh. It looks amazing. Yeah. So go there. She's also got jewelry listed. But as far as the date night goes, come on, buy a copy of Secretariat. Make dinner for your woman. Have some flowers and give her the movie Secretariat. You know, maybe run her a bath and then have her open the movie, you know, and go and just go watch the movie. Hello? That's the easiest date night in the world this year. It just went on sale. I know.
Okay, but I have a question. I'm going to bring something else up here. Why is it, though, that we're talking about a one-way street here? We're talking about what we do for our horse wives or girlfriends. What about what you guys do for us? Aren't you guys supposed to, it's Valentine's Day, it's supposed to be like a two-way street.
Well, I can't say what I'm doing because my husband just walked in. He's in
so
here
Jackie,
right now.
Do you do things?
Can't say anything. Yeah, Jackie.
Do you do things for him?
Well,
sometimes.
No, I think his responsibility is to, you know, do the nice dinner or something like that, and my responsibility is to look nice and be sweet. And
see,
yeah.
It's what I told.
We won't
yeah,
go
she's trying to be
quick.
Yeah, she's being politically correct there. Isn't that what I told you last week, Jamie? That's what I said. Guys, we want one thing. We don't care about anything else. We want one thing. And that's as simple as we are. That's the most complicated we get. That's it.
You know, dress it up in some red lingerie and just, you know, be a happy horse husband. That's all they need. That's all they need. That's what I've come to learn anyway.
Jackie is never coming back here again after this show.
She loves it.
No, this has been fun.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, we appreciate you being on with us again. And
thanks, guys.
I think you and I are chatting this afternoon about something else, so we'll talk to you then.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Bye-bye, Jackie. She's never coming back. We blindsided her and caught her off guard. Obviously, we made her think with that one about the husband. See, I wanted to bring that up today.
I think that's fantastic advice, and you're right. Women probably don't do enough as far as, I mean, I plan an evening. You know, they take us out, guys take us out, and then my job was you're right. I'm not going to repeat myself, actually. I've said enough.
Today,
maybe we'll have to go shopping.
Today's song is brought to you by FeedXL. FeedXL does all the smart stuff that it takes to formulate and balance a horse's diet. FeedXL is like having your own personal equine nutritionist stuffed in your back pocket, and FeedXL is so good that it's used by leading equine nutritionists to formulate balanced diets for their clients. Hop on to FeedXL.com, put in the information about your horse, put in the information about what you feed your horse, and it's going to spit out some very interesting detailed reports about whether you're feeding too much or too little of vitamins and minerals and feed and supplements, the whole thing. You can do that right at feedxl.com. Stop over there today. What are you waiting for? You'll have the peace of mind that you'll know that you've done the right thing by your horse. Well, today's song, and I'm going to have, I've lost my switchboard here, Jamie. Can you get to today's song or
nope.
Not?
No can
you've
do,
lost
my
it
friend.
Too?
I wonder if
you've
we're even on
it
the
too?
Air.
I don't have a switchboard either, dudes, but I'm working on it.
Okay, well, then let's just keep talking here at this point. There were a couple other news stories that were out there, and one was the one you found for the Turkmen horses.
This is, I'm sorry, bizarre. This is just weird. The Turkmen leader, whoever that is, orders annual horse beauty contest to be held in Turkmenistan. Turkmenistan's president has issued a decree, and you know you're kind of important when you issue a decree that beauty contests should be held every year, not for the women, for this country's thoroughbred horses. They're actually going to have beauty pageants for their horses. This decree is by, now stick with me here, President Kurbanguly Birdie Mukhami Dove.
I was wondering, I would have just said the president.
I had to say it. Kurbanguly Birdie Mukhami Dove. We'll see the horses of ancient Akolteki breed take part in this competition every April. So kind of like in April when we have Rolex, they're going to have their beauty pageants. And I guess carpets will be designed and jewelry will be designed. And you have to have, like, a holiday attire for your horses, whatever the holiday is in Turkmenistan in April. I have no idea. it's just, this is insane. And this, the country's former president, just to let you know how the horses are such a central part of Turkmenistan. I think I'm even saying that wrong. Their former president, Saparmurat Niyazov, opened a $20 million leisure center for horses in 2004, complete with a swimming pool, air conditioning, and medical facilities. So this is a Central Asian nation, so I would imagine it's pretty hot out there. And so do you think that the horses are like, hey, you want to go to the pool? You want to go to the leisure center today? Go get in the AC? Like, what, do they take themselves over there and hang out? I mean, they call it a leisure center for horses. Like, hey, you guys, it's like us in the summertime. You want to go to the pool? So, yeah, that was fascinating, I thought. And, yeah, so everybody enjoy the beauty pageants in Turkmenistan. Maybe we'll broadcast from there next April.
Well, speaking of beautiful, and this was in, I think it was in Vermont or New Hampshire. Lee is in New Hampshire, I think. Yep. They had, and I was wondering if any place ever did this. The first line of the story is horse lovers from all over made their way to the Copple House Farm Saturday afternoon to the annual Granite State Draft Horse and Pony Association Rally. And what it is it's a sleigh event. Everybody brings their sleigh, like horse sleigh. Everybody brings their sleigh over, and they go for rides, and they have timed events. It's a whole day of sleigh activities, and that's something that I haven't done before, is I have never driven in a sleigh. I've always wanted to do that.
The problem with driving a sleigh is you have to actually be out in snow.
Where it's really
yeah,
cold.
Yeah, right there. Kind of makes it prohibitive.
Yeah, it kind of makes it a little bit of a pain. Is and then you have to, like, get the horses all dressed and ready and tacked up. And or I don't think they call it tacked up, do they? They just call it
getting
them. Yeah, they
do. Yeah, you got to get the harnesses on.
Yeah.
Okay, tack them up. And in the cold, you like all those little buckles, your little fingers will freeze to pieces. Yeah, that didn't sound fun to me at all, but go for it.
Well, apparently in the timed competition, the winner for the second year in a row was Samantha Locke, who won at the age of 14. She can't even drive a car yet. She's winning these sleigh fast driving competitions through obstacles, and she clocked in at 28 minutes, beating competitors triple her age. So she did a good job there. They had sleighs that were used ranged from two-seaters all the way up to 12-seaters. So 12-seater,
wow.
That's like a bus. That's like a bus, isn't it? I mean, that's a bus sleigh.
I think that is. So could you drive one of those, Glenn?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're no different than driving a carriage. You can drive a horse. You can drive a sleigh. You can drive anything pretty much. Now, I just thought that was cool because I always wondered if there was like a sleigh competition somewhere. And certainly New Hampshire is the place to have it. And if you see the pictures there, we'll put a link in our show notes to the story. It looked really cold, and they have deep, deep snow in New Hampshire right now.
That looks that didn't look like fun at all. question about driving, because you're talking
yep.
about these sleighs, and this may be a dumb question, but the only thing I've ever driven is a Mini, and they just trot around. But being a sleigh driver and you start to go downhill, doesn't the sleigh tend to go faster than the horses, or do you have, are there brakes on a sleigh?
You know, I don't know, Jennifer. I don't know if Jennifer knows the answer to that or not. I've never ridden in a sleigh, so I'm not sure. Carriages have brakes. Some carriages have brakes. We drove in a cart that didn't have brakes. And what happens is the horse, basically, or the horses, in this case, if there's a pair or a four in hand, the horses are the ones that are slowing you down. They're actually putting the brakes on for you. So there's actually a part of the harness that's called the brakes, or the braking part, so that when they actually put their feet out and try and stop, that harness helps the carriage and the sleigh stop. So that's a good question, though. You would wonder that if they get going too fast, but it's actually the horse's job to make sure that you don't.
I think there are some, now we should get our Facebookers and folks to correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think there are some sleigh designs that the runners can create a braking effect. Somehow I think we were at one of the carriage auctions and playing around with the inventory, and we saw some like that. So Facebooker guys, give us an answer on that one. We're curious.
Wow, I didn't think it was that tough a question, but I guess I shouldn't feel stupid for not knowing.
Hey, inquiring minds need to know.
And speaking of cold, Jamie, I posted your picture from yesterday where you were out riding in the desert by the cactuses with your muscle shirt on, looking all warm and happy. And you got quite a reaction, because I said in there that I thought you were just trying to make us jealous. And Katie said, yep, it's working. I'm jealous. And Karen said, she made me jealous. It looks like we're going to be in a few months before I can ride. And the riding area is 2 inches of water and snow on the outer edges. I can't even get my trailer to haul me out. Hurry up, spring. Samantha said, boo hiss. I am in the southeast and temps are really cold, at least for us. Some days it feels like I'm never going to ride again. And Stacy said, yeah, thanks. Minus 12 in Minnesota this morning. So
you know what? I have a comment for those people. You are masters of your own destiny, okay? Get out of there. Why are you living in negative 12 in Minnesota? There is no job. There is nothing where your family will understand if you move away. Trust me. Mine did. You are in control of your own destiny, people. Stop being miserable. Life is too short. However, I am coming to your house in Minnesota, Stacy, when it is 120 degrees here. So, there is a limit to riding in the summertime here, as my horses stand under misters and I hose them off twice a day because it's so hot. However, you don't have to live like that, girl. You don't have to live like that. Get out of there.
You know, you talk about Arizona, but you really don't want all of these people from Minnesota and all of those far northern states. You really don't want them all moving to Arizona, because then your little slice of heaven is going to get kind of crowded.
No, you know what? The housing economy here in Phoenix should really use the help.
Oh.
We really could use some people moving into the foreclosures. It is like the worst foreclosure market here. So if anybody wants to buy my old house, it's still for sale. Just a couple miles.
Now, is that actually in Phoenix?
Yeah, it is. It's actually like 10 minutes from here. However, nobody seems to want to buy it because there's foreclosures. Ours is not a foreclosure. And there's foreclosures, you know, 10 more on that same street that are for nothing. So that's where the Phoenix housing market could actually use some more people moving here. I wouldn't mind. I'll share. We got lots of desert. There's plenty of desert to ride in.
There you go.
But that's worth it. It is definitely worth it being here in the wintertime, because I am just not a cold weather person at all. I mean, my heat is broken right now, and Glenn knows that it's 60 degrees in my house, and I am dressed like I am going out to play in the snow, and I'm 12. Like, the only thing
Do you have the mittens that have the little snaps that hold them on your sleeves?
I actually had to take off the mittens because I can't use my computer and type. So
my
hands are cold. But that's, I'm just that big of a wuss. So people, get out of there. Don't live in Minnesota. There's got to be a better place to go. Why do you do it? Type on Facebook why you live in Minnesota. What keeps you there?
Well, guys, I think our technical difficulties are ending here, and our switchboard might be back. We're going to give it a try. We're going to take a break for that song that we tried to get to about 15 minutes ago, and I think we might even be able to get our next guest on the line here. We're going to be talking about that warm weather place, Scottsdale, Arizona, only about an hour from Jamie. And, you know, Jennifer, we haven't planned our trip to Arizona yet. We're going to have to do that soon because it's that 115-degree Arizona temperatures are coming, and we're not going to have gotten there yet. So we're going to have to make that happen. Well, we are going to be right back to hear more about the Arabian Show in Arizona, not too far from Jamie, right after we listen to I'd Rather Run Than Crawl, the song we have not heard yet from Templeton Thompson. You can buy her music at templetonthompson.com.
Templeton Thompson, I'd Rather Run Than Crawl. You can find that at templetonthompson.com. That girl can sing the phone book. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Visit them at pfizerah.com. I'm Jamie Jennings here with Glenn the Geek. And Glenn, did you hear about Totilus, our favorite horse from the World Equestrian Games in dressage?
No, I didn't hear. What's up?
They announced his stud fee.
Okay.
They're going to continue to compete him with his new rider, but they are also going to be breeding him. And for the bargain price of 8,000 euros, which is about $11,000, you can breed to him, and that will get you repeat doses if he doesn't take the first time, if your mare doesn't get in foal via artificial insemination, or you can do a per dose basis. So you can just say, all right, I'm going to take one shot at this, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, I'm out $7,000, 5,000 euros, or about $7,000, just to get one tiny little vial of potential, you know, semen so you can artificially inseminate your mare. But here's the catch. You have to actually be approved. They only approved like 10 mares last year as far as who they would allow to breed to, you know, have the honor to breed to Totilus. So they're pretty picky about it. So you got to have a pretty fancy mare to spend the $11,000 to $12,000 to get her in full. And that's just the fee for the semen. It's not for the fee for the entire process, which it can be quite expensive as well.
Well, actually, I'm kind of surprised. I thought it would be higher than that. You know, with the amount they paid for this horse, it's going to take a whole lot of they're going to have to prove a lot more mares than that to get their money back. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think they're kind of doing it the way that the thoroughbred people do it, that you cannot jack up the cost this early. I mean, they probably could because it is Totilus, but they don't know what the foals are going to look like because he's only had one foal hit the ground. That was Moreland's Guinevere, and you can find a picture of her on our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. But they do have a couple. I don't even know if they have any other mares in foal to him right now. So I think they're just now starting the breeding program.
Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up is we haven't had a horse rescue story in forever. And this, how most of the horse rescue stories we have are the horses get loose, they get out of the fence, they run around, they fall in a hole, and then they have to go dig them out of the hole. Well, this one's a little bit different. And this is from, and of course, it's from Pasadena, California, where it's going to be a little bit different. And that's officials rescued an exhausted elderly horse yesterday that became stuck in a stream bed Sunday. But he didn't get out. He didn't get loose. He didn't, crash the fence. He didn't follow the cows out of the hole in the fence. He didn't break the gate. He didn't open the gate. He was actually being walked by his owners. The 28-year-old horse named Chief was being walked without a rider by a mother and her 9-year-old daughter who were riding different horses. So they were ponying this one. And apparently they ponied this one right into a stream bed and got him stuck. So... this has to be one of the most unique ones. I'm kind of wondering why the other two horses didn't get stuck. But it looks like this one got stuck. And, you know, maybe the other horses were younger and could get out a little better. But they walked this one right into the mud and got him stuck. So no fences to blame here. You know, I guess the only ones to blame are the ones phoning the horse.
That's pitiful. They just let him right into there. And it's an older horse, you said?
Yes, it was 28.
Oh, 28-year-old. That's pitiful. Now, reading this story, because I just looked it over, and I want to hear from a veterinarian, because it says down here they gave it a shot or something, and the horse jumped up and got out of there. Did you read that?
Adrenaline? I don't know. what they would have given him.
That's what I'm curious about. Officials kept the horse lying on the side for an hour as they waited for the veterinarian. The veterinarian then examined the animal and gave it an injection. And to the owner's delight, the horse is able to stand and go on its way. What on earth did they give that poor 28-year-old horse to make it jump up out of the mud and run away? Would it be adrenaline?
I don't know. A coffee cocktail.
Whatever it is, I want some.
I know a lot of horses that all you have to do is show it with a needle in your hand and they'd be jumping up.
You make a good point. But whatever that is, I have to have some. Here you go, boys. You're going to go on a 9-hour ride in the desert. Here you go. I'm not feeling like it. Just take this.
It's like their own 5-hour energy drink, you know?
Exactly.
Hey, Susan Nelson just posted, crack me up, on her Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Why they live in Minnesota? Lutheran guilt. Thought that was pretty good.
Coming from a Lutheran,
guilt?
I get that. That's pretty good.
That is so fantastic. Lutheran guilt. That's great. She also posted about how everybody will be down here in 3 weeks for spring training, and that is so true. It is. We are the Cactus League for spring training and baseball, and pitchers and catchers report in 1 week, and then the games start in a couple weeks, and it is a baseball frenzy here, which is awesome for me.
You're a baseball fan, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're fortunately the games all start at 1:00, so I'll be long done with this show. But then otherwise, like and I don't want to sell myself out here, but there might have been a couple people in this house that called in sick for a couple of days. Because, baseball games are in the middle of the day every single day, and there's a stadium like 10 minutes from here. So we went quite a bit not during the workday, of course. We never would do that. That'd be bad.
Well, you know, I just can't do baseball anymore. Baseball is just so boring. I don't know how you can do it. You know, if they had a pitch clock like they do in basketball, where you had to pitch the ball within 10 seconds and sped the game up, so instead of being 18 hours, it was like one, I could probably do baseball. They could really get that game done in about half the time. And then if you cut out spitting, that would probably take, cut out the other half of the time, and you could get it done in half an hour.
You are offending every fiber in my body right now. First of all, they're not 18-hour games. Second of all, if you understood the science behind the pitch, okay, and the pitching and the calls and the game, the whole thing, it's a game of inches. It's the perfect game. I mean, the guy hits it shortstop. This is not a baseball show, and I will get off my high horse here in a second. But then the timing that works out, they barely make it to first, and they barely get out. It's a game of inches, and it's fantastic. You watch your mouth.
All I'm saying, I'm not arguing any of that. All I'm saying is that they sped it up, it would be a game of inches that happened a lot faster. That's all I'm saying. It would take up a lot less of your day. Of course, they wouldn't sell as much many beer, $12 beers and hot dogs. But, it would just be, it would be so much better. It is so boring. We actually went to, what's that fancy stadium in Chicago that everybody wants to go to, the old one. Yeah, we went to Wrigley Field, and we got to see a game. It was a business trip, and we were out there, and Jennifer and I left at the third inning. We just could not stand it. It was so boring. I just couldn't do it.
Shame on you.
Send
shame
your hate
on
mail
you.
To Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn.
Seriously. No, out here it's really fun. Spring training is fun because in the outfield, the outfield is not seats like it is in those major stadiums. It's a grass field. And you can bring blankets and you can bring, picnic lunches and come out and hang out and see the players. And the players are very accessible. They sign autographs. They hang out. So it's a totally different experience than a major league game. Although the game is still the same, Glenn. It is still baseball, so you will hate it.
Sorry, it's just one of those things, you know. Hey, we're still having our technical difficulties here, and we can't seem to our switchboard is still down. That happens, you know. My name's Glenn the Geek. I can't fix everything, but it just happens. We're dealing with computers and the internet and all of that, so we're not going to be able to get our guest on from the show. Why don't we just wrap the show here, and we'll see if we can get our guest back on another day. To talk about the Scottsdale show, but we'll wrap it up for today. And, I'm not going to have any closing music, so we'll have to do something about that at the end. Jamie and I will have to sing you something. But be sure to listen to all
luck.
The shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for us at Horses in the Morning. And we are also on Twitter, like we talked about earlier. Our Twitter name is Horse Radio, all one word.
Absolutely. And did you happen to do the other Pfizer commercial, Glenn?
No, I didn't. This half hour was sponsored by Pfizer. Daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health, Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. You can learn more at PfizerAH.com. And the other thing we wanted to mention is that next week is Valentine's Day, like we talked about earlier. And we have something special planned for that day, which we hope that we'll be able to confirm when Thursday. You should know, right, Jamie?
Oh, this is going to be bad. I don't know if I'm excited about this because you're going to say way too much to my husband who potentially is going to be on the show with us on Monday. Oh, my gosh. I'm scared.
The other thing I got to find out from your husband is it's time to record our annual Horse Husbands episode over on Stable Scoop, where four of us horse husbands get together and just pretty much bitch about our wives. And that show is it's still the most popular show that ever happens on the Horse Radio Network every year. So I'm going to have to find out if your husband will join us for that, a little guy time, you know, some beer and some talk about what it's like to be a horse husband. And this year we're going to be doing the 10 top pitfalls to being a horse husband. So I'm sure he can pitch in. You've been married long enough. And the other thing about that show is wives are not allowed in the room or in the house at that time, so he'll have to kick you the heck out. And then we record, and everybody's under condition of, well, let's say you have a cone over you that protects you from the wrath of the wife after they listen to the show. The part of the deal
you
is
know
the wife cannot
Glenn,
get... What's that?
We call that the cone of shame in dog world, okay? And that is complete BS. That'll never happen. And for, I'd like to comment that my husband is way more expensive than I am, first of all. And second of all, I'm sure he has nothing to complain about because I am the perfect wife.
I am sure.
He's laughing
but
right now.
It is amazing. It is amazing how guys open up when they're on a show with four other guys and you know, no holds barred. It is amazing how they open up and things come out that you would just never dream of.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that. I think it'd be awesome, actually. So we will see that. That will be happening, I guess. When are you guys going to record that?
No. Oh, next week. We're going to record it next week sometime. So I have to get a hold of him and try and get that arranged. But our Horses in the Morning Valentine show will be on Monday morning, the 14th. Valentine's
Absolutely.
Day, and we're going to have three couples here, Jennifer and I. We'll have hopefully Jamie and Chad will be able to get off of work, and then we're going to have another couple that we've introduced before here on Horses in the Morning who are not married. They're actually recently a dating couple, so we're going to have three levels, old married couple, Jennifer and I, young newlyweds, Jamie and Chad, and then the not married
Katie
dating
and Roger.
Couple.
Katie yeah, and Katie Roger. And Roger. They're going to be there. So that should be interesting and entertaining. So that'll happen next Monday, Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll give you some last-minute ideas for things you can do. So check that out. And this Friday is going to be an exciting show as well, because this Friday coming up, we're going to talk about thoroughbreds and retraining and talk to a woman that adopted one of those, a couple of those 53 horses, the Facebook horses. So that'll be happening Friday. If you miss a live show, you can listen to recorded versions on our website, iTunes, affiliate websites. You don't have to miss any. So we'll be back tomorrow morning. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Jamie. Let's sing it out. You're not so special.
You're not so special.
So special. I
goodbye,
don't have any
everybody.
Music. So that's it. That's all we get. Bye.